2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news.
Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, it's early October, and no time is better to talk about New Year's resolutions. Not because January will be here soon, but because we've just started a new fiscal year for the federal government. Our nation's current debt has exceeded $31 trillion. That's a big number. With that number in mind, maybe, just maybe, we should look at some congressional fiscal New Year's resolutions, just like we all do in January. So the question then is, can you do that? Is there something out there we should be thinking about when it comes to the federal government and a fiscal New Year's resolution? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day?
Think again.
Well, as we look at that mounting debt, $31 trillion, we see interest rates going up and figure the interest payments on that $31 trillion will continue to rise and be problematic. And is there a way to really get to a different kind of conversation, a New Year's resolution fiscally? Can that be done? Someone's been thinking about that. Our inside source, Andrew Louts, is the director of federal policy for National Taxpayers Union. Before joining NTU, Andrew conducted research for a number of political and issue advocacy campaigns. And he joins us on the line. And Andrew, a great piece talking about some very specific New Year's resolutions you think Congress ought to incorporate for this fiscal new year, 2023?
Yeah, Boyd, thanks so much for having me on. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, right? The federal government is $31 trillion in debt. Congress is turning the calendar on this new fiscal year in just woeful budget shape. Just to maybe kind of conceptualize that a little bit more for your listeners, that $31.1 trillion in debt, that is $93,450 for every man, woman, and child in America. It's just an extraordinary debt load. So what we did at National Taxpayers Union, National Taxpayers Union Foundation, is I worked with my colleague Damian Brady, and we decided to tally up nine fiscal New Year's resolutions for Congress as they begin fiscal year 2023, which began on October 1st, just a few days ago. I'm sure we don't have time for all nine, but I'm happy to walk you through a few.
All right, let's dive in, because I think these are important. If ever there were some resolutions worth keeping, I think these are them, and I think it's going to be up to us, we the people, to actually hold Congress accountable for doing this. And so let's get started. First one on your list was go on a discretionary spending diet.
Yes. So like many Americans try to go on a diet at the start of a new year, we are encouraging Congress to go on a discretionary spending diet. Now, discretionary spending is the roughly $1 trillion per year slice of government spending that Congress actually has significant control of on a year-to-year basis. Most of it, Social Security, Medicare, is kind of on autopilot, but about $1 trillion per year right now is controlled by Congress. It's only a fraction of that total government spending, but it is the lowest hanging fruit for Congress to pick. So we're not asking Congress to starve itself to slash spending to the bone. That's impractical in this political environment. We're just asking them to actually increase spending less than they're projected to with new spending caps. There were spending caps in place for 10 years from 2012 through 2021. They didn't work great, but they did help hold down some of the spending increase.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold.
In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
So important. And I want to jump around a little bit on you. This is just a test. The one that is so important to me that I think we have to get to, and you have it as a great resolution, and that is to be more honest about scorekeeping. Explain that.
Yeah. So, my colleague Damian has actually been tracking this closely. The leaders of the Senate and House budget committees in Congress actually have a responsibility to issue and make public scorekeeping reports that the Congressional Budget Office, which is kind of like Congress's budget bookkeepers, CBO produces these scorekeeping reports. They tabulate up-to-date spending and revenue totals, including from like the most recently enacted legislation. So they're keeping up with Congress as Congress is passing new laws. Unfortunately, Senator Sanders, the chair of the Budget Committee, only issued his first scorekeeping report months and months and months after he was given control of the Budget Committee to start the 117th Congress. And so, my colleague Damian was kind of regularly calling the Budget Committee to task there, saying we need to be reporting on this more often. It's the honest thing to do for taxpayers. And the Chair Sanders eventually did release his first scorekeeping report, but we want them to keep doing it because it's important that taxpayers have this information, right in their hands as Congress is passing new laws, not just once every year or once every 2 years.
Yeah. Now let's jump to the another one of those crucial Christmas lists before we get to New Year's, and that is the budget busting Christmas tree legislation process.
Yeah, so for your listeners who maybe aren't as familiar, Congress does this almost every year now, and a lot of people make New Year's resolutions to quit a bad habit. We want Congress to quit this budget busting process. They hold votes just before the holidays, usually so that congressional leadership, and this includes both parties, can pressure the rest of Congress to take a bad deal that spends a lot of new money rather than be stuck in Washington for the holidays. And oftentimes it works. This is already shaping up for 2022. We're probably going to see, in addition to big, big spending bills that spend tens of billions of dollars more than they did last year, we're probably going to see dollars in additional unrelated spending, all sorts of major policy legislation. And that's probably going to get a vote about 10 days before Christmas. I think pretty much everyone in Washington is going to be itching to get back to their families and their home states and their home district. We think a better path forward would be another short-term continuing resolution that kind of keeps the lights on for the government, but buys time for a better budget deal at the start of the 2023 calendar year.
Yeah, and that those continuing resolutions, again, if we get the process right, that can be a good thing. I did make the exact day prediction in the summer that we would have a continuing resolution till December the 16th. So I won that
one.
Sadly, I won that one, and I think we'll get another continuing resolution on the 16th so everyone can leave and head home for the holidays. Another one of the real crucial areas, this is actually combines two of your fiscal New Year's resolutions for Congress, and that is, one, just saving up for emergencies on one hand, but then also making sure we're spending less on things like the Pentagon wish list.
Right. So like many families save up for a big purchase or for a rainy day, and a lot of states actually do this too. State budgets, account for rainy days. We think that Congress needs to start saving up for emergencies. Every year, Congress puts billions or even tens of billions of dollars on the taxpayers' credit card to cover emergencies like natural disasters, public health crises. And a lot of these emergencies do actually require federal government assistance. And I think most taxpayers would agree with that. The nature of the emergencies are unpredictable, but what is predictable is that there are going to be emergencies each and every year. And so we think it'd be wise for Congress to set up and sort of pre-fund a rainy day fund like most families and most states have that they can only tap into for true emergencies. And I'm glad you brought up the Pentagon, too, because, continuing with the New Year's theme, a lot of families make it a point to spend less on frivolous purchases in a new year. We want Congress to spend less on Pentagon wish lists. These are basically lists that the leaders of the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force are required to send to Congress each year. They tally in the billions of dollars. They're above and beyond what's included in the Pentagon's budget request. And it's basically the branches saying, well, if we had extra money, here's what we would spend it on. And every year, Congress gives them extra money. And I want to flag in particular that Utah's own Senator Mike Lee is a co-sponsor on two excellent proposals with Senators Elizabeth Warren and Mike Braun, bipartisan proposals for this year's Senate defense policy bill that would really these wish list requirements and make it, make them push up the Pentagon top line less. So we certainly expect defense spending is going to increase from year to year, but these proposals, including from Senator Lee, would help sort of tame some of the spending growth at the Pentagon.
Yeah, when you get Senator Lee and Senator Warren on a bipartisan thing, the spending's going to get done right. So that's an important part of that particular process. And then final thoughts, just as you look at that, this is a great list that you've put together in terms of some fiscal New Year's resolutions. We started the fiscal new year just at the beginning of October. Anything else on your horizon that it'd be nice to maybe add to that little wish list or New Year's resolution?
It'll be interesting to see, how the debt limit shakes up in the next six to nine months. The current sort of X date, the date where Congress actually needs to raise limit or else risk a default on the nation's credit. It was thought that was going to be kind of a long way in the future, but with some accelerating spending in the federal government, with President Biden's student debt cancellation executive actions, we may reach that number quicker than we think. And I think almost no one wants to mess with the full faith and credit of the United States government, but this is something that Congress needs to start talking about and thinking about now. While we at National Taxpayers Union don't believe in any sort of hostage shaking around the debt limit, we do think it's an opportunity for Congress to talk about how they can be budgeting better. And so maybe it's an opportunity to attach some bipartisan budget process reform, get Congress actually passing budgets on time again.
Love that. And so glad you brought up the debt limit, because that is going to be one, again, 6 to 9 months out. And we should be talking about it now, not in 9 months when, the full faith and credit is on the line, or the sky's going to fall, or some sort of Armageddon moment will ensue. To have that conversation now would actually shape a lot of these other conversations, I think, in a real critical way as well. Andrew Lotz, the Director of Federal Policy for National Taxpayers Union. And Andrew, always appreciate your perspective. And as far as a New Year's resolution list, this one for Congress, again, the new fiscal year just started. Andrew, I think you guys knocked it out of the park. These are all things that, again, regardless of where people fall on the political spectrum, these are things we have to do to get our fiscal house in order. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
I really think Andrew knocked that one all the way into the bleachers. Those are some of the best New Year's resolutions for Congress ever. And it is a new year in Congress when it comes to the budget, when it comes to the fiscal year. And so there's no better time to be talking about how can we do this different. And everything from going on a discretionary spending diet to working out the budget process, saving for emergencies like we do here in the state of Utah and we all do around the kitchen table, spending less on the Pentagon wish list components. The budget busting Christmas tree legislation where we just throw so many things into unrelated bills just because Congress can. We have to get honest about the scorekeeping of what these things really cost now and in the future. We got to deal with the debt overall, and we got to get to some better transparency. And that's something we all should say, okay, Congress, here's a nice set of New Year's resolutions. Now let's see if you can keep them. I think you should.
Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.